Malachim Beis, Perachav Aleph, Pasuk Yud Tes. So King Menashe had a terrible but very long reign. Menashe has a son named Amon who's going to take over. But now as we are coming closer and closer to the Churban, the general rule that it's a good king followed by a bad king, followed by a good king, followed by a bad king no longer holds. And after being raised by Menashe, what can you possibly expect from Amon? Ben Esr Mushtayim Shana Amon B'molcho. Amon was 22 years old when he became king. So while Menashe lasted 55 years, Amon was not all that old himself by the end. So he was born 33 years into Menashe's reign. Menashe, remember, took over at 12. 33 years later, he's 45 years old. He has Amon, and then Amon becomes king when he's 22. Very much not King Charles III and Queen Elizabeth. He became king as a young, strong man still in the prime of life. Ushtayim shanim malach b'Yerushalayim. And of course, by coming into office at the young age and strong age of 22, he only lasted 2 years as king. But that's meant to be, because it's not exactly a natural death that he's going to die. V'shem imo Meshulemes bas Charutz min Yatva. His mother's name was Meshulemes, the daughter of Charutz, from Yatva, which is interesting, because I'm not exactly sure where Yatva is. The commentators don't talk to us very much about who this woman was. She certainly does not sound like a Jewess. One would assume that she was, or at least converted, in order for him to be the heir to the Jewish throne. But with Menashe, one never knows. And one very pithy summary sentence tells us that Amon did that which was evil in the eyes of God, just as his father Menashe had done. And this is not easy to do. He went in the entire path that his father had trod. And he worshipped, served the idols that his father had served, and he bowed down to them. And he completely abandoned the Lord God of his fathers. He did not go in the way of God. So of the three wicked kings, Ahaz, Menashe's grandfather, father of Chizkiah, Menashe and Amon, each one was actually worse than the one before. Ahaz placed a pesel, an idol, on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, but didn't dare put it into the Beis HaMikdash. Menashe did put an idol into the Beis HaMikdash, but only in the Chatzer. Amon put it, we learn, according to Chazal, into the Kodesh Kadoshim, into the Holy of Holies. Nowhere worse to put an Avodah Zarah. He discontinued the service, the Avodah, in the Beis HaMikdash. He sealed away the Torah. Menashe cut out Hashem's name from the Torah and broke down the Mizbeach. According to Divrei Yamim, he rebuilt it, but maybe. Amon burnt the Torah and prevented any activity in the Beis HaMikdash until the Chazal tell us there were cobwebs on the Mizbeach. Not only that, following this terrible pattern, Ahaz ruled, and this one you have to really track down to see that this occurred, but it's brought down in various books collecting from Chazal. Rabbi Yaakov Medon, based on the Gemara, says a number of different things. But apparently, Ahaz ruled that incest was permitted. Menashe had intimate knowledge of his sister and committed incest, like King Tut did much the same. In the ancient world, this was not unknown. Caesar Caligula did the same thing with one of his sisters, or so it was rumored. Hard to prove that completely, but it seemed pretty clear. And finally, Amon apparently committed incest with his mother. This is, says the Me'am Loes, a sin for which a person normally has no desire to do and finds repulsive. Amon didn't really want to either, but he did it to defy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if it's possible to be worse than Menashe, Amon is worse than Menashe. And it's all based on the Gemara Sanhedrin about Menashe and then Amon who followed. Divrei Yamim says that Amon didn't learn the lesson of his father's tshuva, based on those who say that the father did tshuva. the source that Amon violated his mother is from Divrei Yamin, because it says the Amon chata me'od, and the me'od. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer have an argument in the Gemara Sanhedrin. One says he burned the Torah, the other says he violated his mother, and we quoted both opinions just before. And his mother said, "How can you possibly do this?" And Amon said, "Do I do this for any other purpose? Only to provoke my creator." So that's everything that Amon was about. He was, and now, who does he mean by his creator? So some say, by violating his mother, he was rebelling against his father, not merely against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How is he rebelling against his father? According to the pshat, that his father did tshuva, Amon is rebelling against his father's end-of-life tshuva. And the tension of the father and the son appeared in burning the Torah and continuing idolatrous policies and also violating his mother. Like Avshalom, if you remember all the way back in Sefer Shmuel, when he wanted to show his contempt and his rebelliousness against David, took his father's concubines, the Pilakshim, in a tent. So this is apparently in the ancient world a sort of symbol. Now I am the alpha male, and I took the woman away from him in the most primitive, awful, violating way possible. But Amon is only going to last 2 years. He doesn't really offer very much to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, didn't take much. Chaf Gimel Vayikshu Abdei Amon Olav. The servants of Amon decided they're perverted, angry, furious, terrible king. He's not even a king. So they conspired against him, his servants. Vayomisu Asamelech Bebeso. And they assassinated him in his own house. Now, Chavdalet Vayacham Haaretz Eis Kol HaKosherim Al HaMelech Amon. So the people rose up, and the people killed those who had conspired against Amon HaMelech. Vayimlichu Amoretz Es Yoshio V'notachtov. And the people would not allow these servants to rid themselves of Beis David. Assassination is not common among Malchus Yehuda. It was common in Malchus Yisrael, when we saw different dynasties come about through murder and assassination. But this was not the way it was going to be. So the fact that he was not kingly is what caused the conspiracy against him. But the fact that he was from Beis David caused the people to say, "We demand another king from Beis David. We will not allow these reformers who killed him to take over and institute a communist regime, or like Oliver Cromwell in England, a protectorate." No, none of that. See, nothing is new. This is similar things have happened even in the modern era, where a king is killed and they try to put in a separate system of government, kill the Tsar, put in communism. And no, we are the people of Hashem. We are the people of Beis David, which is interesting because we've seen several times in the Nach, "You have no share in Beis David," said the 10 tribes. But that's never true. We always have a share in Beis David. So it's interesting that we keep that flame alive within ourselves, even when we are a lowly people of Avodah Zarah. Even then, we still draw immense pride and commitment to Malchus Beis David being intact. So we demand Yoshiyahu, and they could have done a lot worse. Now, wrapping up with the formula, Chafei v'yeser divrei Amon asher asa Elohim k'suvim al sefer divrei Yamin l'malchi Yehuda. The remainder of the things about Amon that he did are written in the book of Chronicles for Malchei Yehuda. Doesn't say Gevura or Milchama because he didn't have a chance to do any of that. Interesting. So Amon the wicked ends up in the same caver as Menashe the wicked. The boy who rebelled against his father in the most primitive, earthy way possible, animalistic, ended up in the same grave in the Garden of Uzzah. And Yoshiyahu, his son, who is going to be one of our greatest kings, is going to become king in his place. Amon is not included in the list of Malachim who lost their Olam Haba, because he is protected by the righteousness of his son Yoshiyahu, as we are going to see. But Menashe, on the other hand, was not saved by the tzidkus of Chizkiah, his father, because the righteousness of a son is a merit to the parent who raised him. The righteousness of a father is not a credit for the son unless the son follows in his way. So again, major point about Nach and about Judaism is that you are responsible for your own actions. And if consequences of your actions lead to goodness, even not from you, but from your son, then you get credit for that. But if you were supposed to be good, to live up to the example of your parent, and you deviate, that's your responsibility. Because you should have followed the example that you were given.